And welcome back to the Pet Cash Pod presented by Profluent Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Pet Cash. Appreciate you being here today. As always, you can listen to all the other conversations with the founders, executives, investors, and athletes at profluence.com/podcast. We had a great episode today with the CEO and founder of Senda Athletics, Santiago Halti. They have built in the futsal space. So they sell some apparel, socks, traditional shoes to play the game, which is played by a ton of star players. Even Lionel Messi grew up playing it. We go through the background story, what they're building, go deep into insights even around how you build out distribution, how you build a more material heavy company in sports, and where we see not only soccer, but similar foot played sports going into the future. This was an awesome episode. Without further ado, let's dive in. Diego, I appreciate you hopping on today. I've been looking forward to this one for a while and have to do the in-person soon, but excited to dive into a little bit of futsal and a different type of podcast today with more on the product side versus typically a lot of them are on the software side.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate you having me. And yeah, we'll definitely have to connect in person next time I'm in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And I guess first off, you can probably explain like why you're in Pittsburgh and then we'll roll from there.
Yeah, I remember when we connected the first time, it was in connection with our visit to go see Dick's Sporting Goods. They've been carrying our product for the last 2 years. So it's been a relationship that's been growing. They've been incredible partners for us, and they've been carrying all three major product categories for us, from our fair trade certified balls to our futsal and turf footwear and our grip socks. And we've been expanding doors and expanding the number of items that we have in each category. And so we go see them at least twice a year. And we've been just really surprised by how open that team has been to us, how much they embrace a small Latino-owned brand like us. And it's one of the highlights for us every year to go there twice a year and spend some time. So we'll have to make sure to grab coffee next time we're in town.
100%. And we'll pull it back. We'll go back into a little bit more of supply chain and distribution and a lot of the insights there. But want to start out, you know, give us a little bit of your background and, you know, how you really came to build Senda and when that inspiration hit you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes down to like many stories, like where you're raised, right? Where your race kind of defines who you are and your values and your personality. I was, you know, raised and grew up in Buenos Aires in Argentina. Soccer was everything I did in my free time. In recess, you know, between lunch, like after school, like every time I could, anything would be a ball, you know, like a can of Coke, anything that you could kick, a tennis ball, like you would play all the time. So I moved to the U.S. to go to college. And then when I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to join my two passions. My passion for the beautiful game, for soccer and futsal specifically, and then also my passion for fair trade. And I learned a lot in college around, you know, how products are made around the world and globalization and supply chain. So for me, it was about combining my two passions, you know, for the sport that I loved and for making products sustainably, combined the two, and then Senda was born to make sustainable fair trade products that could allow not just the people that use the product to enjoy, but also the workers that make it.
Yeah. And you brought up the Argentina piece. And I think a lot of us are shaped by our childhoods and that environment. I know it's a common phrase. It's like you're the product of your environment. But anyway, on to the Argentina front, obviously very successful in the international stage, World Cup wise. You know, what was that experience like for you as well? And I know, I believe there were some tie-ins also on the Senda side with both Argentina and the World Cup.
Yeah, basically just soccer, football, futsal. It's in your blood. It's what you play. It's what you do. It's what you talk. It's just 24/7. It just really never stops. So for me, it just ended up being the main way that I learned life lessons, how to win, how to lose, how to make friends. It's just everything was around soccer. So it just defined like my love for the game and just really, you know, there's a saying, it's more than a game, and it really is. And so that just grew up for me to love the game and love it. I didn't really compete as much. I wasn't a competitive, you know, like college player. But to me, it was just a way to meet new people. And when I moved to the States from Argentina on my own, I met my best friend through the beautiful game. And to this day, you know, he's my daughter's godfather and I'm his daughter's godfather. So he's my brother and I met him through the beautiful game. So for me, the game has always been a way of life and how I met some of the best and most beautiful relationships in my life. And yeah, the connection that you mentioned, we were blessed in the last World Cup in 2022 that Argentina won. You know, I was three when we had won the previous World Cup in 1986. So it was a long time waiting. We had Alexis McAllister, who had been using the games in the English Premier League. He wore the socks in the World Cup final. We were the only grip socks. That's one of the product categories that we make. And I just still remember, and probably will do till the day I die, just having my daughter in my arms, watching Argentina win the final and like being there with my product, with Alexis McAllister lifting the World Cup. I was just crying like a 10-year-old watching
That's awesome.
His country win the World Cup.
That's awesome. Now, when you think of the athlete strategy and, you know, we're seeing a big movement of even athletes looking to get behind products they love, especially on the sports side. You know, how do you approach that and how have you engaged them to not only wear your products, but potentially get deeper involvement with the company itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, been following a lot what you've been publishing around like athletes becoming owners and not just like doing traditional endorsements. And I love that. And we've kind of been embracing that. We got Jimmy Conrad, who played for the U.S. national team. He's been a great ambassador for the brand, and he's been an investor. We recently added as well Jed Laurie, who played Major League Baseball. He played for the Sox, the Houston, the A's. He loved the product, especially around the grip socks. We got a lot of products. You know, we got the balls that we'll go into, that we do like soccer, we do futsal, we do beach soccer. We love niche products. We have the footwear as well, very, very specialized. But right now, one of the hottest products that we have in the market is the grip socks. And we're very focused on the soccer side, but they can really be used for any sport. It could be American football, baseball, basketball, you know, ice hockey, anytime, you know, like running, lifting. So we've been talking with more and more athletes. And right now, we don't pay any of our athletes to wear the socks. Everybody that wears them, you know, whether it's like English Premier League or La Liga or Major League Soccer, they wear them on their own. We will seed products, so we'll send product to athletes. So there's natural conversations that are coming from some of the athletes that believe in the product that are wearing it. And they're saying like, well, I'm going to wear this product for the next, you know, 10, 15 years. Why don't I maybe get a piece of the action, help the brand grow? I believe in the product. I'm wearing it without anybody paying me to do so. So we're having some conversations, and I could see more people like Jimmy, like Jed coming in and having the added value of just giving us product feedback, helping with R&D and basically, you know, getting the product to more people.
Yeah. When you think of the product development, I'm sure you didn't start with as many different lines as you currently have today. You know, how did you go about building it out? And then what was the thought process around when it was the right time to add new products? And I'm just curious, however deep you can dive into that. I think there's a lot of interesting nuggets that I'm sure you have.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we started with the simplest of product and the most beautiful toy in the world, which is the ball, right? If you think about it, the ball is the most communal element of the game, right? Because somebody brings it, and then, you know, anywhere from 10 if you're playing futsal, or 22 if you're playing 11 aside, 22 people are playing. So somebody brings it, and normally there's one person that brings it, and whoever brings the ball, you use that ball. So it's the idea that if we convince one person to buy a Senda Fair Trade ball, he would help us to introduce it, that product, to the entire community. So it was very intentional. So that was the idea. It was also a product that we could source in an ethical way, in a fair trade way, out of Pakistan. You know, there are hundreds of factories there, but only a handful of them have gone through fair trade certification. And we work with those kind of factories. So it was a product that could be a communal product that like an early adopter could bring to the broader community. And that one that's kind of like people are willing to try a ball, right? Like footwear, it's a little more personal. Normally it takes a little longer for you to adopt a new brand. But a ball, it's something that's a little easier for people to try for the first time and for people to tell a story. And, you know, once you play with it, you liked it, you saw that it performed just as well as any other ball. You got that cherry on top about the fair trade and the feel-good story. And that kind of went, you know, after that, you know, we early on, we saw that futsal, and for those that don't know, futsal is a five-a-side version of the game, oftentimes played indoor, but it can also be played outdoor. And it's the only form of indoor soccer that's, you know, recognized by FIFA. You have a FIFA Futsal World Cup, you have a UEFA Champions League, some of the biggest teams in the world, like Barcelona and River, they have futsal teams. So it's growing a lot. We saw that that market was underserved. So we quickly started making a specialized futsal ball. And after that, footwear was the other piece that was also underserved by the bigger brands. So, you know, it was only natural after, and we took our time. 7 years, we did nothing but balls. Then we saw the footwear market. We did a Kickstarter. We were able to sell about 1,000 pairs of shoes. And then we came to market with a very specialized futsal shoe. Then in the pandemic, we saw this trend of like grip socks and how much it was growing. And I had taken to Buenos Aires, to Argentina, a great influencer named Mo Ali. He's a trainer. He trained with some of the best soccer players in the world. And he brought along, you know, his partner, Glenn, was a Dutch entrepreneur, and he has started this company called Gravity Grip Socks. I'm wearing, you know, the cap for them. So I saw how quickly players were adopting the sock when they were training with Mo Ali. So I was like, wow, this is something. Glenn and I stay in touch throughout the years. And then we thought during the pandemic, it was the right time for Gravity to become a technology that Senda adopted. So we did a partnership there for us to take over that brand and incorporate as a Senda technology. And the last piece that we've adopted, I know you're big into ecosystems and how do you build something that works together for something bigger. We added custom uniforms. So now we have these four product verticals, balls, footwear, grip socks, and team uniforms to be able to be a one-stop solution for first for all things futsal. And then as we grow, you know, we can expand that to the broader soccer market as well.
From a fair trade and socially responsible manufacturing lens, curious, what are even those requirements? What goes into that? What does that even mean also? I think we hear that from time to time, but I mean, even myself, I'm asking this not like just to tee you up. I'm literally like, I don't know myself. So I'm curious of everything that's involved with it.
Yeah. So out of the four product lines that we have right now, the balls are the ones that are fair trade certified. Our goal as we grow is to be able to bring fair trade to our other product lines. And basically in the ball manufacturing specifically, as we mentioned, they're made in Pakistan. They're made in factories that are audited by a nonprofit that comes to the factories on a regular basis, supervises how the factory is run, interviews the workers. They can show up unannounced anytime, and they can be let into the factory. And so the conditions are very good. There's also a fair trade fund that we contribute to. So for every product that we purchase from the factory, there's an extra sum. There's an extra 10% of what we pay for the product that goes to a community fund. And then the workers themselves, not Senda, not the factory owners, but the workers themselves, in a democratic way, they decide how to use those funds. Examples have been eye exams for the workers. So some of them needed glasses and they couldn't get those easily. So they've done that. We've done also school supplies for the children of the workers at the beginning of the school season. There's also clean water projects. That's one of my favorite. And one of those, the clean water is available not just for the factory workers, but for the entire community. So the factory has the water well kind of facing out. Anybody can stop by the factory and get clean water. So that's an example of some of the community projects that the workers have decided to do. And when customers choose a Senda fair trade ball, they're contributing to making sure that that happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know any of that. Super cool though. I guess from a distribution then, that's the natural evolution. We've sort of covered where it all started, how you've built out lines, how they're fair trade, how you're using athletes to integrate it, the lines across futsal and soccer, and then now some other sports. Well, now when you want to get it to the end user, what does the distribution look like? How are you making sure to get it in front of people so you can actually, run a business with sales of the product itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. For us, we just look at the customer the same way that we look at ourselves. How do I shop? How do I want to be served by a brand? And that changes all the time, right? Like sometimes you're at the Dick's Sporting Goods and you need to be able to come and touch and feel the product. In the case of footwear, find the right size, you know, have the trial and then take it. That's really important. So we make sure to partner with Dick's Sporting Goods, the largest retailer in the U.S. They're just delightful to work with. Then sometimes people want to get education as well, right? They want to learn about futsal and why play futsal and, you know, why did Messi, Neymar, Cristiano Ronaldo, the original Brazilian Ronaldo, why did all of those people like play futsal and then became world-class footballers? So then they might come to our website and they might read a blog and then they might purchase from there, right? You might have a coach that's looking for like a ball pack. They want to buy something that's allowing them to just show up to practice, have the, you know, 12 balls that they need to run practice and be done. So maybe it's the website. Then you might have somebody that needs to get it in 48 hours, right? And they might need to like go to Amazon for that because nobody's bidding, you know, Amazon in like, you know, how seamless that transaction is. So for me, it's about serving the customer where they are. You know, we have soccer.com, the largest soccer specialty retailer in the United States. They're also an incredible partner. They've been since the very beginning. So it's really understanding that customers have different needs at different times in their life and different situations. And how do we make it as easy as possible for them to get access to our product in the best way?
And from a material heavy company, what are some of the main challenges you've run into? Supply chain, I'm sure, especially over 2020. But just in a, we'll ignore that year, even just in a generic year, you know, what are some of the challenges that you encounter? And then how do you, I don't want to say overcome, but like that's the word that's coming to mind. How do you navigate them correctly to still run the business efficiently?
Well, we're growing very rapidly. We're growing 30, 40% a year. And one of the key challenges that we have is keeping up with inventory, right? Because you're working closely with your clients and your buyers at the different retailers that are buying to like, you know, forecast demand and plan for that. But sometimes your growth is even faster than when you forecast it. So for us, a key challenge has been how do we keep the right inventory in stock, especially Q3, Q4, right? You got the holiday season, you got the soccer season, fall soccer season, you got futsal. So we're big in Q3, Q4. So we oftentimes have been out of stock. And that really sucks, you know, because you work so hard to create that demand, to create the product awareness. And then when you don't have the inventory to support, like that has been challenging. And the way that we work with that is two ways. Try to work very closely with all our retail partners to forecast as accurately as possible and leave a cushion there for extra demand that maybe either us or them didn't account for, and then just placing bigger purchase orders, right? So financing, using inventory financing, getting into purchase order financing, factoring, working closely with our partners. You know, oftentimes we're like, hey, we really need a purchase order here that allows us to go out and get the capital to go produce this. And, you know, we've always been like very direct. You know, we're now raising a little bit of capital, but we'd really been bootstrapping the business. So one of the key challenges for us is keeping up with the demand that we have and making sure that when it matters, when the product needs to be in the athletes, the parents or the coaches bag, that we're there to serve them in whatever channel they decide. So that's been a big one. You know, we have a remote team. We got people working out of Buenos Aires, San Pablo, Santiago de Chile, Monterrey, Mexico City, Austin, Dallas, you know, Oakland, California. So how do you keep such a broad team all over the world, like closely connected? And, you know, the culture has been really important. We just had an annual retreat in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And that's where we talk about all the opportunities, all the challenges. We kind of like charge off each other. And that gives us, you know, what we need for the rest of the year to address, you know, these key challenges of a fastly growing brand. And that's only going to grow. If you look at the next 5 years of soccer in this country, it's crazy what we have coming.
Yeah, well, while you're on it, well, what is the World Cup going to do? I mean, you've seen it from an Argentina lens, even winning it. And but to have it on home soil, and I'm sure you're pulling for Argentina. I haven't looked at sort of where everyone falls for 26. Usually you have a good idea of who's going to get at least to the final four. You have some, there's not a ton of upsets. I mean, at least from what I've ever seen, but more on the business side, what do you see the World Cup doing for soccer, especially in the US and even futsal?
Yeah. I'd like to think that this is going to be like a revolution of like soccer 3.0. I would say soccer 1.0 was like NASL, not North American Soccer League. You got Pelé, Cruyff, you know, some of the best players in the world coming and introducing soccer to America in the 70s. Pelé, you know, playing in the Cosmos was huge, right? And that was kind of what I call like soccer 1.0 when Americans like got introduced to it. Then you have like soccer 2.0. You got the 94 World Cup. You got MLS launching in 96. You got David Beckham coming in, you know, a few years after to play in the LA Galaxy and really transform the game. That's like 2.0, right? It's like now you're like seeing like a solid league like MLS that was growing. You got like soccer specific stadiums. And now you got soccer 3.0. Which is, you know, not just the World Cup, but you got Copa America this year. You potentially have the Women's World Cup coming, LA 28, you know, with the men's and women's soccer tournament as well. And then Messi, right? The GOAT coming to play in the US. We can't ignore that factor. So that's going to be soccer 3.0. I think that's when you're going to see like soccer being a top three sport in the US. And you're starting to see that already happening to a certain degree. You kind of almost already feel it. You got LeBron James, Serena Williams, Fat Joe, Mr. Beast last weekend going to see Inter Miami. Like everybody wants to go to see Leo Messi play. So I think the World Cup will be, along with Messi coming here and him ultimately staying with Inter Miami, becoming the 3.0 revolution. And we think that futsal is a big part of that revolution. And that's going to help make the game in the US more democratic and more urban. It's going to be like what basketball is, right? Like you don't need a lot of money to play basketball in the US. You know, probably 80%, 70% of Americans can walk to a hoop and play, you know, whether it's in like a neighbors that has a hoop, you know, in their garage or like a urban court. I think futsal allows soccer to become similar, where you don't have to play in a team that requires hundreds or thousands of dollars. It's urban, and you're seeing that now, you know, people are like taking like a speaker, blasting reggaeton on a basketball court or tennis court, they're squatting. The U.S. Soccer Foundation is building 1,000 mini pitches by 2026. So I think that's part of the 3.0, the revolution of the sport here in the U.S., where it's going to be part of the culture. And also the fact that Latinos are going to be, you know, the majority of the country in the coming years. I think you're going to have all that coming together to have the sport be part of the American fabric, as opposed to this niche Europhile Latin American sport that we didn't get. That's what I see. It's going to shape culture, music, fashion, and you're already starting to see that.
Yeah, it's exciting. I will say it's wild to watch the globalization of sports, just even seeing what Saudi Arabia has done for traditional sports, seeing what bringing something like soccer to the States with big name players, and then also obviously major events, which brings tourists and the whole nine yards, like you brought up, what's happening to just sports in general is pretty exciting. But on that, any other trends or anything else you're paying attention to, whether in more your niche world of futsal or soccer, or just broad in terms of sports, or even just in terms of apparel and merchandising? Any things you're keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, I think that athletes, you know, they're looking for ways to differentiate themselves on and off the pitch. So I think it's like, how do we allow the athletes to express themselves in a way that makes them kind of stand up and get an edge? You know, everybody's looking for that edge, right? We're having the GPS to try to monitor, you know, every movement, both in practice and in games. You know, like the grip socks are a perfect example. You know, it's like, and for us, it's been a matter of like, how do we not just make the best grip socks, but the best looking grip socks? So I think it's finding products that athletes can fall in love with to get an edge and to look good. I think fashion and soccer is going to be a big one. I think how the two continue to become music. You know, I think I talked a little bit about reggaeton, and that's where people are listening. And it's not just Latinos. Like, reggaeton right now is one of the most listened genres around the world. And in the U.S., you got like key athletes listening to this music, sharing it in their stories, on their TikToks, on their posts. So I think it's that. And then small-sided soccer. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier before recording, Andrew, about the 7v7, the soccer tournament, $1 million winner takes all, right? And it's this gamification of soccer as well. You saw it with the Kings League, you know, in Spain. And then you have one in the Americas. Then you have the 7-a-side tournament. That's a gamification of the game, and oftentimes with small-sided soccer. And like, I was at TST last year. We were with Conrad and Beasley United. Had a blast there. Every game ends with a goal. A lot of upsets. A lot of excitement. And it was like soccer and Disneyland in one place, because you would run and you would see like Mia Hamm, DeMarcus Beasley, Jimmy Conrad, you know, all these incredible like athletes. And this year it's going to be even bigger. You're going to have legends of the game that are going to be there. You had Cesc Fabregas. It was just unbelievable. This year, like, Balotelli said he's going to be there. He's been a fun player for me to watch over the years. And I think that those like niche modified versions of the game that are great for social media and for younger generations, I think that's another trend to look out for.
I'm with you. Well, yeah, great insights. A lot to pull away from this. I'm certainly going to be re-listening to some of those a few times. Just there's a few nuggets in there. I'm like, yeah, I want to dive deeper into even some of what's said there.
You need to come to the event, Andrew. You need to be there. It's 5-6 days. It's going to be on ESPN, Cary, North Carolina. June 5th to June 10th. We're going to be there again at it with DeMarcus Beasley and Jimmy Conrad. New team coming up. I cannot say much more than that. But it's going to be a blast, and it just brings the community together. I think what's beautiful about that is that when you go to a stadium, you kind of go, you watch the game. If you're lucky, you get to, you know, see a player. But here's like, you're like walking, and then you'll see a player that's watching another game. You know, you play two games during the day normally, and then the players are coming to watch other people. So the ability for you to come and spend time with athletes throughout the day, not just watch them play for 2 hours and go home, to me, that's a game changer for the people that are going to watch this event, that you run into people like at the stands, into athletes and these players that, you know, that you normally got to see on TV before.
That is interesting. Now, as we close out, give us the lowdown. Send a website, socials, anywhere else that people can learn more.
Yeah, sendaathletics.com is our website. That's our handle also for all our socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You know, I do want to say, you know, I know a lot of people that follow you are investors. You know, you got private equity, you got athletes. We are raising a $3 million seed round. We've closed about 10% of that. We got some incredible athletes, smart investors. So for people out there that are looking into the space, that want to connect, that want to learn more, we're having some really great conversation with strategic investors. But, you know, always looking to connect, to meet with other founders that are raising money. You always learn a lot from founders and other athletes and funds that are interesting at the intersection of sports, you know, ethical, fair trade, better for you products, and then fashion. You know, reach out. We're always looking to connect and network and learn, and we're in it for the run. I think we have, for the long run, we have 5 very exciting years for the sport, you know, culminating in 28, and we're just having a blast right now with the brand, growing fast and looking for people that want to grow with us quickly as well.
Love it. Well, Santiago, appreciate you hopping on today. This has been a fun one. We'll have to run it back at some point as this whole world just takes off, and you see it more and more, at least internal. I know we're close to the fire, but I think the whole world's about to really see what's coming in this world soon.
It's going to be a revolution. It's going to be a big change. This is the biggest sports market in the world. So when you got a sport like soccer, like embracing that, and then you got, you know, foot so closely aligned with that, big things happen. So we're excited to be at the forefront of that. And appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Andrew. I always learn a lot when I see your posts, when I talk to you. So this has been a very fun experience, and I appreciate it, man.